scripture reading and sermon from our weekly worship at First Lutheran Church in Minot, North Dakota.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Verily I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, if you happened to show up for worship this morning not realizing that today is Holy Trinity Sunday, you would be forgiven for that. It's not one of our most popular or well-known festival days. And I think that's because most of our special days in the church calendar mark some meaningful and world-changing event, like on Christmas, Jesus was born, and on Easter, Jesus was raised from the dead, and on Pentecost Sunday last week, the Holy Spirit came. But today, Holy Trinity Sunday, is not about an event. It's about an idea. It's about a theological claim. It's a day to reflect on the nature of God, three in one, one in three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. So without a storied event from salvation history to refer to and expound on, without a particular episode from Scripture to kind of neatly illustrate this truth, today gets kind of tricky. It's not so easy to stand up here and talk about the Holy Trinity without either A, committing heresy, which is pretty commonly done actually on this topic, or B, putting you all to sleep and turning this sermon into a nice chance for a Sunday morning snooze. Well, perhaps you already know that the phrase Holy Trinity never appears in Scripture, nowhere to be found in the Bible. Rather, this language, this term, came about in the years and the century after the church had been going to work at its mission. The term Holy Trinity evolved as God's people studied the Bible and wrestled with the nature of God and tried to find a way to talk about God that would be helpful in clarifying and creating understanding of a God who is so completely other from us, so transcendent, that our minds can hardly begin to grasp the fullness of God. But deep thinkers and wise theologians and councils of leaders and everyday believers sought to understand. They all tried. They read and they reflected and they wrote and prayed and discussed how it could be that Jesus is the Son of God and also fully God, and how Jesus could die on Good Friday and yet God's still alive to raise him from the dead if they are one and the same, and how the Spirit or breath of God was related to the Father and the Son, and how all of this can hold together with the primary claim of a monotheistic religion, which is affirming that there is one God and only one God. So you see where Christians find ourselves on this topic. Without simple formulas or easy answers, without a systematic theology that could possibly contain the vastness and the mystery of the Almighty God, without even any satisfying metaphors that don't quickly drift into that realm of heresy, as I said. And yet we still have this day in our church calendar, Holy Trinity Sunday, where we peer into the mystery of God, where we stretch our hearts and our minds and our imaginations to more fully appreciate our triune God, where in the absence of complete understanding, we simply trust and humbly worship the Holy Mystery. I think there's nothing like Holy Trinity Sunday to make Nicodemus's story resonate off the pages of John's Gospel. Because Nicodemus is a leader of the Jews, he's a Pharisee, which means he is a religious expert. He's educated and experienced in interpreting scripture and in teaching others the traditions of the faith. But he has questions, and they're big questions. So under the cover of darkness, he goes to Jesus by night to see if he can learn something of what he does not understand. And Nicodemus exposes a sort of vulnerability in himself as he confesses that he doesn't really get it. And Jesus even chides him a little bit. He says, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" But if Jesus was truly hoping to clarify what was muddled or to enlighten Nicodemus's confusion, he attempted to do it in a strange way. Nicodemus began with a statement, "We know you are a teacher who has come from God." And Jesus responds that Nicodemus must be born from above. And Nicodemus seems a little caught off guard by that. How can someone be born a second time? And Jesus answers, "Well, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." And in the midst of the non sequiturs and the abstract ideas, Nicodemus has to conclude that he just doesn't get it. I imagine him shaking his head with big eyes as he says, "How can these things be?" And whether in response to that question or because he's on a roll, Jesus continues. He continues on about earthly things and heavenly things, about ascending and descending, about a serpent in the wilderness and the Son of Man. And Jesus talks beyond verse 17, where our passage for today stopped. But even so, we don't hear anything more about Nicodemus's reaction. But perhaps you can imagine how he felt and what he was thinking and how he wondered as he returned to his home and his bed. Was he confused, frustrated, overwhelmed, angry? What is this all about? Jesus' replies to Nicodemus maybe don't seem so strange to us. Language about being born from above or being born again, that's not foreign to our understanding. When Jesus gets to the part recorded in verse 16, we might even breathe a little sigh of relief. Here is something sturdy and familiar to begin again in building and organizing our perceptions of God. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Likewise, the language of the Holy Trinity is familiar to our ears. We talk about it, we sing about it, we profess it in our ecumenical creeds, maybe not in that exact terminology. But then if you take the time to look a little closer and to dig a little deeper, that sort of haze of confusion just might start to set in. The more you pull on the threads, the more tangled up they become. The more thick books you read on the topic of the Holy Trinity, the more you realize you just don't understand. And it becomes clear that adherents of other world religions are almost justified in their perception that we Christians worship three gods rather than one. Almost. In this attempt to begin to understand, we name God as Holy Trinity. And we name God not in order to tame God down to a level that we can understand, but we name God as Holy Trinity so that we have a little more language to use as we seek to find together a little more clarity and understanding of who and what and how God is and does. As we use a term like Holy Trinity, we are pointed anew to the vastness and holiness and transcendence of God. We will never understand the fullness of God, not on this side of heaven. Such are the limitations of mere mortals. But if we can learn one thing from Nicodemus, it's this. Keep asking your questions. Learning and growing and understanding God are lifelong endeavors, even for a religious expert like Nicodemus. So keep asking your questions. Even if, as Nicodemus experienced, the answers you receive don't seem like answers to the questions you're asking, but maybe to different questions. Because revelation is a gift, even if it comes out of order or beyond our comprehension. When God reveals, we receive. When Jesus speaks, we listen. In matters of faith, we do well to hang on to a willingness to wonder. And no, we don't hear again from Nicodemus in John chapter 3, but this isn't the end of his involvement in Jesus' story. He's mentioned again in chapter 7 of John's gospel, and then in chapter 19, when Jesus has been crucified, it is Nicodemus who brings this huge quantity of spices and aloes and myrrh, like 100 pounds. And then he and Joseph of Arimathea get to work anointing the broken body of Christ, wrapping it along with the spices in linen cloth and laying it in a tomb. So if there's a second thing we can learn from our friend Nicodemus, it is this. Clear and complete understanding of this God we worship and follow is not what is most important, but rather that we continue to show up. We continue to listen and to respond and to trust that we know just enough for this moment. And if or when you feel overwhelmed by the vastness of God, remember that when we cannot grasp God, God has already grasped us and does not let us go. May our holy and triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, grant you enough clarity to believe, enough faith to trust what cannot be known, and enough persistence to keep showing up in the midst of it, so that we and God's whole church may be found faithful in our following of Jesus Christ. Amen.